Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you having classes today?
Classes are gone. Amen.
Wow. Awesome praise and worship, huh? That got me messed up. Amen. You know, we're talking about the goodness of God. That's our theme for this year. Thou crownest the year with your goodness, and your past drip with fatness. We're seeing God's goodness in a big way this year. Amen. God's done some awesome things. And the good news is he's not done yet. Father, we thank you for this word that is getting ready to come forth. Thank you for your anointing upon me to deliver this word. Father, that the words that I speak will bring life to those that need it, will bring understanding, Lord, of where you're taking us and what we are becoming in you. Thank you that you're giving us ears to hear this word today, Lord, and spiritual eyes to see maybe some things we haven't seen before. Now I give you the remainder of this service. I give it to you, Lord. Thanking you in advance what you're going to accomplish through this word today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about whose agenda are you following? Whose agenda are you following? This is kind of like another challenge word, and the word should challenge us to think. You know, last Sunday we talked about the wow factor. So the gospel, when it's preached, should wow us. It should challenge us to want to change. Amen. So most people look forward to the new year. And it may feel like we're leaving the old and entering the new. And that's kind of exciting because we think we can leave the old thing behind. And we'd be like sometimes, well, the year's almost gone. I'll just wait for the first of the year to start this. Or I'll just wait for the first of the year to start that, because already we're into the month of August, so why bother now? I'll just wait for the first of the year. We know the first of the year is time to make resolutions that we don't keep. Well, we might for a week. Amen. So the new year is a time for resolutions to be made that we don't keep. It's a time we promise ourselves that we'll do better this coming year. And we begin to make an agenda on how we're going to do it and to do all this. So when you think of the word agenda, it is another word for a planner. An agenda is simply a plan of action. And so, you know, as humans, the human side of us, we like to be in control. So we make all kinds of agendas. We have meetings on making agendas, and then we have more meetings to figure out if we did the last agenda, and if we didn't, we'll have another one to figure that one out. So we're good at making our own agendas. So agendas to make sure that, you know, that agenda's been followed out and all known. So they sell all kinds of calendars. They sell all kinds of agenda calendars. And they're you know, some fancy ones. You can get them for $1 at the dollar store, but if you want to pay a higher price for one, you can go to the higher retail stores and get you a big planner. Put all kinds of things in there. And then we make all the plans and agendas, and then we invite God in on it. Uh-oh. Then we get mad at God when the agenda, the plans don't work out. Now, I know none of y'all ain't never done that. But I don't know about me, I ain't been all the way delivered yet. Amen? So after making all these agendas and things, and it don't work out the way we planned it, then we get mad at God. Jeremiah tells us in 29:11 a very familiar passage of scripture that says, for I know the plans, I know the agenda that I have for you, says the Lord. I have for you, declares the Lord, says the Lord, the plans for this agenda is to prosper you and not to harm you. In other words, God is a good, good father. His goodness and mercy really is running to overtake you. And not to harm you. The plans, the agenda I have for you is to give you hope and to give you a future. That's good news, right? So I've learned that God is my pilot through this thing called life, not my co-pilot. The co-pilot doesn't sit in the seat and tell the pilot how to fly the plane. That pilot's sitting there because he's got trained, he's got training, he's got experience. So I'm here to tell you today, if you're the co-pilot, if you're the trying to pilot your life, then what you are doing, you're calling the shots. And you're making the agenda. And you're going to get tired. And you're going to get worn out. And you're going to give up. And you're going to get discouraged. So how many is ready to move over and let the Lord take the pilot's position? Amen. Proverbs 19:21, talking about the plans and agenda that we make. Proverbs 19:21 tells us many plans are in the mind of man, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. Whose agenda are you living out of this morning? Proverbs 16:9 tells us, in his heart, a man plans his course. A man has an agenda. He plans his course. But the Lord determines his steps. You know, God has an agenda. God has an agenda, something he wants to accomplish, and it is in his way. Psalms 109:13 tells us that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. The Passion Translation reads it, God's heavenly throne is eternal. It's secure, and it's strong. And his sovereignty rules the entire universe. We serve a sovereign God that makes a good agenda. So the kingdom of God is the alternative to the kingdom of this world. An alternative simply means that it is another way. There is another idea on the table. But you know, as God's people that's living in this world, we're not limited by the choices the world throws at us. We're bombarded with them, as a matter of fact. TV commercials that scream that this is the best life. And if you'll send me $19.99 today because tomorrow's not going to show again, then I'll give you wealth and health and beauty. If you'll order this, if you'll have this done, the world offers their own agenda. But how many knows it's not the outside of a person that makes them beautiful? It's the spirit. But just because everyone else is doing it, as I said before, it does not make it right. Because usually the loudest people that are screaming that it's right, most of the time it's not. They're just trying to convince themselves of what they're doing is right. And a few of the people down here are taking up on it and thinking, well, they're screaming the loudest and they're making their voice heard, so it must be the agenda for me to do this. I got to tell you, the devil is a liar. And God's a good God. Amen. Amen. God has an alternative plan for us that are his sons and daughters if you've been born again. Called his kingdom agenda. Woo! Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek aim at and strive after, first of all, his kingdom, his agenda, and his righteousness. His way of doing things and being right. And then what's going to happen? All these things. All these things. Health, wealth, prosperity, goodness, mercy, joy, peace. All these things taken together will be given you besides that. You can never out-imagine or out-dream God. Because whatever you can imagine right now, whatever you can dream right now, it's bigger. Whatever you're imagining right now that God's doing for you, he said, I've got it. That's nothing compared to what I've got for you. Woo! Hallelujah. So instead of being preoccupied with the world's way of doing things, their way, their agenda, the way they say it should be done. As sons and daughters of God, we seek meaning to go after, Just like goodness and mercy has pursued you, you should be pursuing and stalking the Word and the presence of God. Amen. And His goodness and His mercy. Amen. You should be a stalker of the presence of God. Wow. So it means seek, meaning to go after. And first makes it the foundation of everything else you do. Because when something is first, it means everything that can be built on it thereafter is going to stand. That's right. That's why when you see God's kingdom, His agenda, His way of doing things, then everything else in your life is going to be able to stand on that firm foundation. And when the storms and winds of life come, it's not going to be blown off. And like Pastor Laverne said, it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've said it and I'll say it again, it's that vertical relationship with Jesus. And then when you have that relationship with Him, every other relationship will fall after that, flow after that, and be what God says it'll be. Hallelujah. Woo! Something is happening right now. You all, there's a shift taking place. Glory to God. First, make it the foundation of everything else you do. That means God's agenda, God's kingdom, His agenda, His way of doing things, and His righteousness, the right way of doing things. Now that you are a citizen of heaven, what happens when you begin to follow the kingdom of God? And I thought of Isaiah 30, 21 says, you will hear a voice. Woo! You will hear a voice behind you. You will hear a voice. This is the way, follow it. Whether it turns to the right or whether it turns to the left, then you will dishonor your silver-plated idols and your gold-covered statues, and you will throw them away like clothing ruined by stains. You will say to them, get out. Wow. When I read that, I heard like God was saying, this is my agenda for you. Follow the way it goes. Whether I ask you to go left, whether I ask you to go right, don't question it. Don't try to figure it out. Just obey it. Do away with all the works that you've been trying to do that has caused you to get frustrated and even bored. Amen. Throw all that away. The works that you say you've had to do this or that to earn my acceptance and to earn my grace, my salvation. You will be given the authority to say, get out. Amen. Wow. Amen. Because those statues and those idols and those things that you're trying to hold on to, you're going to be able to say, get out. Amen. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Yes. Talking about works, I wrote a poem about it. I was going to share a little bit of my life, everyone. I didn't think it was going to be this soon, but I want to read you this poem that I wrote about it, because I spent a long time doing works. God, and I titled this one, God Just Wanted Me. I tried so hard to keep up with what was going on, running here and running there, but the answer I could not find. This is after I was saved now, okay? I dressed the way they wanted, you know, the hair really straight. No makeup, please. I tried the rules and regulations, board meetings. Oh, have I been to some of them? Board meetings and the such. Good works I simply could not perform. Still, the emptiness was not filled. That's not relationship, what I just read. That's works. I tried to give the Lord 10% of my time like they said I should. Carry 1 hour. Read a proverb every day, maybe a psalm too. Oh, Lord, what was a person to do? In a very quiet voice, I heard my father say, child, stop your performance, for all I ever wanted was you. Woo! That's all God wants, is a relationship with you. It's to fellowship with you. Amen. That was the day, as the song says, that was the day he called my name, and I ran out of that grave. That was the day he called my name, And I ran out of that grave, out of darkness, into what? His glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Your freedom is all I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. My goodness. So when you start with a kingdom agenda, living in relationship with a true king, and embracing your place in that, in his kingdom, nothing will ever be the same. Because he will cause you to do things you thought you would never do. He will cause you to say things that you thought you'd never say. He will cause you to go where you thought you would never go. You know, you've heard that about sin. I just turned it around because I don't want to give the devil any glory. When you start doing the kingdom agenda, those things begin to happen. You will start living life from the kingdom of God's perspective. And since living this kind of life now, kingdom life, I have found out that the view is so much better from there. Because I have now a heaven's perspective of things. And when I look at things, I view it from heaven's perspective. Like Pastor said, what would Jesus do? And the view is so much better from that angle, from heaven's view, when you're living out the kingdom agenda. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden. And he said, I'll give you rest. There is rest living out of the kingdom agenda and from the kingdom agenda and from walking in the kingdom agenda. I love the way the Message Bible says it. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? That's just what I said a while ago. When you're trying to do all these works and stuff, you get tired, you get worn out, and you get burned out. That's religion. Come to me, he says. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Wow. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. He says, keep company with me. That's talking about relationship. Amen. Keep company with me. Keep that relationship with me. And as we walk together, I just added that, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. If church makes you burdened down, if the word makes you feel burdened down and people are teaching something contrary to the word, that's not Jesus, that's not God. The word should free you. And it's not that it's not going to challenge you and make you uncomfortable, but it will bring you to a place because you'll learn more and more the love of God and have a desire to change. So God's agenda does not waver in the heat of life. He does not have to call a special meeting to discuss what he's going to do about it, whatever circumstance it may be. He already knows, and he's already made a way of escape. The word tells us that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, 1 Corinthians. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken you or enticed you that is not common to human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. He's compassionate and trustworthy. But along with the temptation, he has the past and now is. He has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out. As well so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. Whew. So, you know, some people struggle to find their place in life, even after they're saved. They go from job to job. They go from relationship to relationship. They go from church to church. What are they doing? They're struggling to find their place. They're struggling to find who they are. You're never going to find your place until you get your identity with Jesus. I don't care how many relationships you have. I don't care how many churches you try out. I don't care how many jobs you go to. Your identity is found out in Jesus. It's like I said Wednesday night. You live out of that identity.
And if you don't know who you are, then you're going to just live out of whoever, anybody that wants to say that you are, and you just believe it and take it up on them. So they're trying to find their place that only can be found in the kingdom agenda. When you allow your life to start there, all else will fall into place. But until then, you will feel exiled, even though you are saved and born again. Exiled meaning living in a foreign place that's not your home. You're trying to live in a place that God says, I took you out of. I've seated you in heavenly places with me. And you're trying to live in exile away from that. Wow. When you go back and read in the Old Testament, God's people were constantly exiled from their homeland. Sometimes it was choices. Sometimes they were captured and taken. But they were constantly away from that. And you know what happened? And time again, when they were in that situation, they were exposed to the evil plots of the enemy. Why? Because they were on foreign territory. Because they were on foreign territory. So when we're trying to follow our own agenda as God's sons and daughters, and we're living in exile, so to speak, away from the purpose and plan that God has for us, and that we're making our own agenda, and then we're inviting God to come on over here and get in on my agenda, you exile yourself from the presence of God. Because you're trying to live in a territory that God says, that's not where you're supposed to be. Find out who you are and find out my agenda and my plan and my purpose and start living from that. So we're trying to make up life as we go instead of living it out from that kingdom perspective and from that kingdom agenda and from that plan that God has already established. So Holy Spirit gave us a word Wednesday night, and I want to go through that, and we're going to get into some more of the scriptures. And he said, this is a season of acceleration, and this will go along with everything I'm saying. Things that you've been believing for in this season is going to begin to happen rapidly. Those things aren't going to happen unless you get in on God's agenda and his plan. Those things you have been believing me for in this season is going to begin to happen rapidly. Amen. So you don't have to wait till the first of the year to start something if God's telling you to do it. There are remnant of people that have touched my heart because all I needed was a yes. Isn't that amazing? All God needs is a yes from you. And when you say yes, that means you're agreeing with what he's saying. Amen. I've already given you my yes, and your yes is amen to what I've spoken to you concerning the promises of my word. To you and yours, the shift that you've experienced is making room for the new. Amen. Old wineskins must fall off, and I hear the word expand. The new wineskin is for the expansion God is doing in this season. Are you ready to be expanded? Get off of your agenda and get on God's agenda. Yes, there's the new that's taking place and it's full of my glory. Yes, breathe, for you are entering into the season of expansion. The new skin has the ability to expand. So you're trying to do all this new thing in an old wineskin when God said, listen, that's not where I'm at this time. Yes, breathe, for you're in into this season of expansion. The new skin has the ability to expand, to make room for the breath of my spirit. And you know, when God says I'm doing a new thing, get rid of the old, he's not saying the old was bad. Some of it is, but not all of it is. But God says, this is the season I'm doing something different. And I want you to embrace it, and I want you to run with it. What did he say? I hear a voice behind me that's saying, go to the right or the left. He says, don't question me, just do it. Isaiah 43:8-21, God's promise is exiled people a new work. He said, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Do not remember the former things. Isaiah writes prophetically to Israel at this time. They were mired in the desperate circumstances of captivity and exile. Leave the past where it's at, the past. There's nothing you can do to go back and change it. Exactly right. Amen? God wants to put their eyes on the new work he's doing, so it begins with a reminder to not remember the former things. Let it go. If they are stuck in the failure and the sin and discouragement of the past, they will never go forward to the new thing God has for them.
And so many people are living out of the past instead of the present. Some people are living in the future. We need to get delivered from the someday mentality. Help us, Jesus. I'm going to be mad right now, but someday I'm going to forgive. This is the way I'm doing it right now, but someday. Someday never happens. If you keep that attitude. Behold, I will do a new thing. Stand stuck in the past can keep us from the new thing God wants to do. There's a lot of things that are on God's agenda that we haven't seen yet. I believe there's a tendency to thank the Lord as the God who was and the God who will be, but not as the God who is I am. So sometimes I think that's why he reminds us so much to forget the past. Don't be looking to the future. I am now. I am now. That is, we remember great things that God once did and rejoice in them. But we look forward to what is. Faith now is. God has promised he will do, but what about now? What about the great I am, the God of the present tense? What about the kingdom agenda now? Find out what it is. God was wanting his people to avoid. He was telling that he was going to do something new and amazing. He is and will do and is doing for us in this day as well. So no longer will the children of Israel just have to look back to the stories they heard from their youth of God's deliverance during the Exodus. They were going to experience something amazing for themselves. They were going to experience something amazing for themselves. And he would make a way so they would not have to return from their exile. And he said, I'll provide streams in the desert. God is alive and interested in the lives of his people right now. So we're counting the days now. We're coming to the end of July. And we're counting the days now down until August. Amen. And so when you think about August, August is the number 8 on the calendar. And biblically speaking, it represents a new beginning. God is saying to us today, you are ready to leave July, which is the 7th month, and step into the August, which is the 8th month of new beginnings. The number 7 is represented in the Bible as meaning the completion and perfection of things. Okay? So as the Holy Spirit began to put this together, I discerned him to be saying, you are coming out of the 7th month, things that have been brought to perfection, to maturity, to completion. Things that have been undone and scattered, I'm bringing together. There's a completion of some things. There is a solidifying of some things. And that's why you're going to be able to walk into the month of August with a new beginning. My agenda is still the same, but you're going to have eyes to see it fresh again. You're going to have spiritual ears that's going to hear it fresh again. You're going to have the discernment to say, I hear the voice saying, walk this way, and I'm going to walk this way. So now this is the time for new beginnings. Familiar phrase that we've all heard. In order to go where we've never been and to do something we've never done, you got to do something different. And sometimes God tells us things that doesn't make any sense. So if we want to grow into an ever-increasingly closer walk with God, we're going to have to have him to lead us into places we've never been before. And the good news is he's already at work about it. It's already on his agenda. We don't have to put anything else on God's agenda. All we have to do is get in agreement with his agenda and live out of that kingdom agenda. You know, and I'm not saying that you don't make plans, you don't make goals, but don't make them and then invite God in on them. Find out that it's the will of God, first of all, and you find that where? In his word. This is the will of God concerning you, which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody ask you what the will is for their life? This is the word of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Live out of the kingdom agenda. Yes, make plans, make goals, but make sure they're aligned with the word of God and his agenda. Get over, get out of the pilot seat. Sit in the other seat and buckle up, because God's getting to take you on a ride, getting ready to take you on a ride that you've never been before. Yeah. And I just hear the word sudden impact. Woo! Sudden impact. The Spirit of the Lord is going to so overwhelm you in this season, not for good, but for his grace and for his calling on your life. Hallelujah. You're entering into a season
of much prosperity, says the Lord. And within that prosperity, I'm going to cause you to be able to expand like you've never expanded before. Prosperity not only monetarily, but health-wise also. Because God says you're going to need to be renewed in your health to run with the vision that I've called you to do. So he says, get ready for the new that I'm about to do. And once we enter to the month of August, there's some things that's going to happen.
Amen.
And we're not waiting for the first of the year to get the word of the Lord on it. But he says, today,
yes.
I'm bringing to completion some things.
Yes.
Amen. And you're going to walk into the month of August with a new step, a new determination, a new vision,
Amen.
And a new plan and a new goal to go where I'm taking you. In Jesus' name, let's stand. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in your presence today and for your word. Looking into your kingdom agenda and finding out what you have to say on the matter. We thank you, Lord, that all is well in your kingdom. So therefore, it's well in our kingdom. The things that come along in our life doesn't change your agenda. You're still God. The politics and all that right now, wow. We live out of your kingdom agenda and what your word says, because our trust is not in man, but our trust is in you and your settled word. And we're so thankful for that today. Father, I thank you for those that are here in present today. Lord, I call them favored. I call them that they're accepted in you. I call them blessed. In Jesus' name, I call them holy. I call them sons and daughters of God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. We step up and we live out of the agenda of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.